The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now.
My shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Not bad to make it to Wednesday already. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf live in the Auction Community Studios. Day two of football season 2021.
Quasimodo Wednesday, of course, Basinonians, minus the Quasimodo. We say good morning to you, Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, reporting for duty. Just the way that Cardinal players showed up, veteran players reported for duty yesterday.
Are you here so you don't get fined?
More on this as the show unfolds. Yeah, you know what? Those are immortal words, are they not? I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Xavier Howard used them.
He used them, yeah. It's not a bad approach right there. It really isn't. I'm just here so I don't get fined, said Xavier Howard.
It's a... If you don't know what we're talking about, it's kind of one of these things that it's going to be fascinating, fantastic, interesting, however you want to look at it. The future of July in the NFL, and that is the fines. It used to be for 400 years, a player doesn't like his contract, he doesn't show up, the team fines him for not showing up, and the first part of signing a new deal is take the fine away.
Yes.
Well, now the NFL changed it.
Okay, here we go.
In the latest CBA, you now get fined $50,000, not by your team, so it's not something to negotiate, by the league. So now the players are showing up to avoid the $50,000 a day fine.
How's that working, Douglas?
Well, it depends on how you want to look at it. On the one hand, from an NFL quote-unquote lack of distraction standpoint, so the news on the celebration of football, NFL wants it to be a celebration of football.
Yo.
That we're all back together again, so they don't want contract holdouts taking away that celebration. So from an NFL standpoint, it can't be going any better. It is fantastic for the league. But the hold out is being replaced by the hold in. So are you simply moving one distraction of a player not being there and that being a distraction in only the press conferences and only in the locker room when the media is in there talking to you about it versus you've actually moved the distraction to the team? Because if you're sitting there working like crazy, are you sure you're okay looking at your hold-in buddy not working like crazy because he has a magical hamstring tweak that they just can't seem to figure out? It's one thing to say, hey, it's business and that's why he's away.
Right.
But is it really business when you're puking and he's laughing at you?
You know, it really depends on the player and the players involved, Douglas. When you're talking about a team that has a strong, strong culture, you have to look at the individual that would actually show up and pull a, oh, my hamstring, right? You would have to look at the individual. There's no way, to me, this is just me, there's no way Chandler Jones is going to show up by way of example and suddenly, oh, I've got a hamstring when he really doesn't have a hamstring. If something happens to Chandler Jones, I think it is going to be 100% legit because I know the guy. I know how he is, especially when it comes to the game of football and how he approaches his profession. Having said that, boy, that's when it does become a distraction. When his teammates, because his teammates know, right? His teammates will know. His best friends will know. Whatever locker room, I don't care where it is across the National Football League, any player has good friends, really good friends, brothers. And many times it's multiple. You feel this bond with your teammates that you just don't. It's hard to describe. It really is. But having said that right there, there are guys that will know in that locker room whether you're pulling it. Oh, look, my hamstring. I'm so sorry. Or it's really about your contract.
Man, I can't wait to hear the Doug and Wolf Show.
That's when it becomes a distraction.
I'm promoting the Doug and Wolf Show for Monday morning. I would really love for you to listen on Thursday and Friday if you could. But I'm going to really promote the Doug and Wolf Show on Monday morning because will there be a recantation by you? As we go through the first set of practices where there's hitting, if Chandler Jones is not involved in the hitting, like I think he's going to go through this stuff. I mean, hey, it's just your 5-day acclimation period. But when actually comes time to start hitting, will suddenly that contract hamstring flare up?
I will never come off that. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm saying I don't think it's going to
happen. I know. I just mean Monday morning we'll find out.
And I would never recant on that whatsoever. Are you kidding me? Chandler Jones is a
pros pro. Wait, if he's standing on the sideline with an injured hamstring on and doesn't practice on the first practice of hitting.
Yeah.
You're not going to recant? You're not going to say that's contract?
I'm going to say I'm not going to recant on what I said today.
Oh.
I'm not going to do that because this is the Chandler Jones I know. Chandler Jones is what you see is what you get. That's what I love about this guy. This guy is, I marvel at it all the time. I talk about it all the time based on needs, but it is the truth. You go back and you look at it, a guy that actually got paid big money, signed big money contract for 5 years and got better.
Team meeting for the Detroit Lions.
What do you mean? Okay, Detroit Lions, they're meeting now?
No, they did yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Here's your four rules under new head coach Dan Campbell.
Oh, no way.
It's not as dramatic as you would expect, but it's a lot of don'ts. Okay? Here are the four rules to be a Lion. Don't be late.
Okay, there it is, Monty Williams.
Keep your weight in check. Whether that means lose some or gain some.
Don't be late and keep your weight in check. Discipline.
Don't disrespect your teammates.
Wow. Okay.
Don't disrespect the game.
Wow.
We're done. Okay.
There it is, right
the
there.
Four rules of being a Lion.
That is it. Boy, that last one's a little open, though, isn't it?
It is.
That's a little open for interpretation, Dad. That's all I'm saying. Right? Don't disrespect the game.
Because who's determining what is disrespect? You?
That's brilliant right there. It's kind of like house rules. You got to have some type of house rules or something for the compound as well, right? There it is. Don't disrespect this family. That's what's got to be number four.
The dumbest house rule in the history of the planet, you don't get any money for landing on free parking. All you do is screw up the spirit of the game.
With a monopoly.
All you do is screw up the spirit of the game. I'm beating you. Why should you get bailed out because you land on free parking?
You flip the board.
The only thing you get for landing on free parking is you avoid my hotel, Jack.
You cheater!
Hello.
Yes, good morning. This is the Arizona Sports Front Desk with your wake-up call.
Thank you.
Punch it.
Maloney Drives, the wake-up call. Here's everything you need to know that happened in the last 12 hours in 3 minutes.
Cliff Kingsbury on Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald. The ball's in his court.
Well, I think that's enormous. Normally, say, hey, you know, he's out there. He's earned the right to, and we'll find out where he's going. And, you know, we wish him the best. That's the normal Cliff Kingsbury answer.
Yeah.
So I'm not acting like the world is changing that a coach says the ball's in his court. I am acting like the world's changing when it's Cliff Kingsbury that actually gives you even a remote amount of little detail.
So what does that mean exactly, that the Arizona Cardinals have extended a contract offer? This is what we're willing to pay?
I think that's exactly what it means. I think that's exactly what it means.
More on this as the show unfolds.
Devin Booker starts for Team USA and win over Iran at the Olympics.
Went 6-9 from the field, 5 boards, 3 steals. They did not start Devin Booker. They lose to France. They start Devin Booker. They beat Iran. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the competition.
How did that feel right there, Iran? I mean, that is a question we've got to ask you right now. It wasn't until almost the fourth quarter when they actually had more field goals than turnovers. Just can you feel that, buddy?
Their next game is against the Czech Republic on Friday night. Saturday night. So here we go.
Yeah, the Czech. Here we go.
Simone Biles has withdrawn from tomorrow's individual all-around competition at the Tokyo Games to focus on her mental well-being.
Is anybody going to have as big of a problem as I am? You decide, because we live in a different society now. If she is in the individual competition.
Yeah.
It's none of my business where your mental health is, but if you back out because of mental health reasons from the team competition, and now all the work your teammates did can only muster them a silver, but then you're ready to go for the individual, it's like, well, what just happened here?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't know what's going on with Simone Biles. I have no idea. I am not inside her head right now. It just seems so odd that this would be happening to her at this point in her career when she's the greatest of all time.
Herm Edwards said during Media Day yesterday that the ongoing investigation of the ASU football program is not a distraction for the team.
You know, I would have to agree, because what do most college kids care about? Can you get me to the NFL?
Yeah.
And the distraction of that isn't going to be something that that's going to keep them from the NFL. And number two, nobody knows if the NCAA even has any teeth anymore. Look at how long U of A has been going through their situation. Why is Bill Self still the head coach of Kansas? You know, he's even got a contract that says you can't fire me even after there's NCAA sanctions. So the NCAA has lost so much teeth, I don't see how it can be a distraction.
Yeah, Basinonians, I don't think it's a distraction for the kids at all. I think it could be a huge distraction for the men that are coaching those kids. Mm.
Per MLB's transactions page, the Diamondbacks released John Duplantier. He was a third-round pick in 2016 who quickly became Arizona's best pitching prospect, but he has struggled to stay healthy.
That it was a little interesting to me only because of that. I got to ask this difficult question because I don't know if anybody's looked. Robbie Ray has been fantastic for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. Fantastic. So let me ask you this question, and I'm being totally serious. I need somebody that knows better D-backs history than I do. Since Brandon Webb, who was the last pitcher the Diamondbacks drafted, developed, was successful, and they kept and signed to a free agent contract? And when I say free agent, meaning they played five years,
man.
and you they were good enough that you wanted to keep them or didn't trade them.
Been a long time.
I mean, am I asking too much for one guy since Brandon Webb?
Development, critical.
Ugh.
And the D-backs drop series opener against the Rangers, 5-4.
Listen, Mike Hazen, don't fire Mike Hazen, okay? Just because I'm about ready to rip Mike Hazen, don't take this as if I think the GM should be fired. Do you have any idea how bad the farm system was? But you could not have made a bigger mistake bringing these veterans back for this year. Last night, they had three base-running mistakes. Cole Calhoun, Nick Ahmed, and Asdrubal Cabrera. And I mean little league mistakes. And oh, by the way, they lost 5-4. Do you think those runners would have mattered at some point in that game? If they're checked out and a guy that was pitching after Tommy John surgery that's on a pitch count, and you let him stretch himself out into the seventh inning because you're not taking any pitches against him when you know they're going to pull him, that was as unprofessional and cheeseball as a game you can have. Get rid of almost all these veterans. Don't let them taint the rookies. This is why you have a trade deadline. Clean house.
The Diamondbacks are 3-21 in one-run games. 3-21.
That's lack of focus. Man. I know a lot of people say, oh, I don't care about the D-backs right now. Well, they don't either. So you're even. Coming up next, it's been one of the biggest questions of the offseason for the Arizona Cardinals. So after day one, how do you feel about no Larry Fitzgerald? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
It was great. It's like first day of school every year. You know, you never lose the excitement being back around the guys.
We're in our usual rooms, and Larry's room is usually on the far right, and it's not the same right now, so I'm going to give him a holler.
What's the best part about training camp?
When it's over and the real games start?
We're not paying attention to the outside noise. We know what we have to do. We know the expectations that we have for ourselves, first and foremost.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
The one this morning is day one of Cards Camp 2021. And granted, it was yesterday, but the reason why it reclaims the spot as number one like it did yesterday is because of the comments of Cliff Kingsbury. Thanks for waking up with the Doug and Wolf Show. Cliff Kingsbury, listen, the bar is just set differently for Cliff Kingsbury. If you run press conferences the way Cliff Kingsbury does by saying, you know, talking to you, being cordial, but saying nothing at any time, that whenever there's actually something that's said, it gets elevated.
He's speaking media.
If it's, you know, Bruce Arians sometimes would tell us deep, dark truths about the Cardinals, and I admit it openly as a member of the media, I would miss it because he had said so many other things that were shocking that I missed sometimes the golden nugget of, wow, that was actually really important what he said. And you would figure it out a week and a half later when something happened and you realize, wait, I guess I knew that was going to happen.
The obfuscation of BA was intentional.
Yeah. He threw too much truth at you and shocked you so often that you missed some of the other stuff. Cliff Kingsbury, exact opposite. It's so rare he gives you anything that it stands out when he does.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best players of all time. We've been over all that. Ball's in his court. We feel like we have great depth in that group regardless, but we'll have a plan ready either way.
I thought that was really an interesting statement because he didn't go out of his way and say, we want Larry to come back. Like, he didn't sound desperate for Larry. Hey, our team's fine. We're good. But we gladly accept him if he comes back. But when you say the ball is in your court, that is contract talk of we've given him our offer.
Yeah.
And we're not budging. Here's our offer.
Yeah.
We want you to take it, but we're not going to chase after you. And by chasing after you, it means we're not raising it.
You know, for me, Doug Lease, honestly, that was my number one takeaway as well, what Cliff Kingsbury said right there, base and earnings. But I will also tell you, a close second was the one of the best players of all time. We've been all over that.
Yeah.
I mean, Cliff was even acknowledging the fact that, hey, listen, we've already talked Larry. That's all we've done is talk Larry all offseason. We've been all over that. I'm not going to go back down that right there. One of the best players of all time.
Well, truthfully, Cliff, you're not all over everything when it comes to the comments that you make to the media.
That was a close second right there, Basinonians. But I agree with what Doug Lease is saying right now. The ball's in his court. I think it's always been in his court. I don't think anyone has said that it's been his court.
Even though you're right. And listen, any fan driving to work, all of you that are nice enough to listen to the two of us right now, you've known it's going to be Larry's decision. Steve Keim has joked, you know what would happen to me if Larry announces I want to come back and
right.
we say no?
Yeah.
So we've always known Larry's in charge of the situation and he's earned that. But to just reiterate the famous phrase, the ball's in your court, it's like phone tag. We called. You know, he knows where we stand. So we're done here.
Right.
And that means there is, I think there's an accepted contract offer from the team saying this is what we are willing to pay.
But I have to tell you, Douglas, does that surprise you? It doesn't surprise me at all that the team said, Larry, this is what we're willing to pay you for this
year. It doesn't surprise me that that's what happened. It surprises me that Cliff Kingsbury, who never talks about stuff like that, has said anything remote that lets us assume that this is what's happening. Because here's the position the Cardinals are in, and there's no good answer. Do you pay Larry what he means to football and what he means to the franchise mm-hmm. and what he means to the fan base? I mean, really answer that question. Is that 30% of the cap? Is that 40%? I mean, he's that important as a human being. He adds that much credibility to your franchise. But how much do you pay a receiver who catches about 60 balls and 3 touchdowns? Where's the line here?
I don't know. But the one thing you cannot do, and I think Larry Fitzgerald would even back me up on this, ladies and gentlemen, the one thing you cannot do is pay a player based with a salary cap, pay a player based on what he means to the fans. This is the National Football League. You're trying to win games. Hello? You play to win the game. You do. You can't.
Hello? You play to win the game.
It's so right, Herm. You can't sign players and sign this player and bring this guy in because they mean an awful lot to the fan. And now, listen, I know Larry Fitzgerald is a completely different paradigm. I understand Larry is one of the greatest, classiest guys. Man, I'll tell you right now, the love I have in my heart for Fitzy, it supersedes the fact he went to Pitt. Okay? He went to Pitt, of all places, and yet the love that I have for this guy and the respect that I have for him, but I think Larry would even back me up on that one right there. You can't sign guys because of what he means to the organization, because of what he means to fans. You're trying to win in the National Football League, one of the hardest paradigms you could possibly crack. It's very difficult to win. So you can't be signing guys because he means a lot to the fan base.
There's a famous phrase in sports for coaches and GMs. If you listen to the fans, you'll be sitting with them.
Well, there you go. Ding, ding, ding.
But it is funny to listen to Christian Kirk talk about the weirdness of it all.
You know, it definitely feels weird, you know, without him. You know, first time I've sat down in my locker and he hasn't been next to me. So it's definitely a little bit of an adjustment period for me. But like you said, just he's been around here, a part of this organization for so long. You know, not having him, you know, here on the first day is a little weird.
So the big secret question then, because I'll never forget the brilliance and the look on the face of Mike Hazen. I think it was Steve Gilbert. I can't remember for sure. when J.D. Martinez was still a free agent after he had already been traded. So he gets traded. We have a nice run in the playoffs. Not a nice run, but we got swept by the Dodgers. But, I mean, we won a nice game against the Rockies. And then in the offseason, you're hoping they re-sign J.D. Martinez. And somebody asked Mike Hazen the fact that there is a J.D. Martinez jersey still hanging in the locker. And Mike Hazen, oh, you saw that, did you? You know, and it was funny. So it was asked to Christian Kirk, does Fitz have a locker?
I honestly haven't even checked. I just went and sat down to mine and made sure all my stuff was there still.
You know, what's amazing about that. I can totally empathize with what he's saying right there. Just the fact, can you imagine sitting next to Larry Fitzgerald? As a young guy, here you are. You're Christian Kirk.
Especially when you're from here.
I was going to say, did you grow up here, Christian Kirk? Yeah. Yes, you grew up here. And now you're a wide receiver. You're playing in the most difficult league there is when it comes to playing the game of football, the most difficult and competitive league that our species could generate. Now, all of a sudden, you're sitting next to Larry Fitzgerald when this is what you do. I that kind of impact, the only thing I can empathize with in regard to that is the fact that I got to sit next to Walter Payton for a year. I got to sit next to him for a week, I should say, a year. What are you talking about? For 1 year that I was out there in the Pro Bowl. Got to sit next to Walter Payton for a week and bombard him with questions. Do you think Christian Kirk has already bombarded Larry Fitzgerald with questions? I would imagine he's done that.
My math could be off by a little, but I believe Christian Kirk was entering the second grade when Fitz was drafted.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Well, the draft, actually, would have been finishing his first grade year, but when Larry Fitzgerald reported to his first NFL camp, I think Christian Kirk would have been starting
That's
the second
stunning.
Grade.
Incredible.
And now you grow up here, and now you're drafted by that team. You work with Larry Fitzgerald, and now suddenly he's not there. Coming up next, Herm Edwards spoke for the first time since ASU has been under investigation. Is there an impact on the team? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Every time I hear that promo, I think about my golf score from each Friday. It was 113 yesterday.
113.
Is that
worse than typical?
Yes.
Yeah.
But not by much.
Okay.
I'm usually 104, 103.
113.
There are no human beings on planet Earth that can fix my driver. No one.
So that's it right there.
Oh.
It's off the tee.
Well, I mean, you'd be shocked at how good I am at hitting a ball between tree trunks.
Okay.
Because I've had tremendous amount of practice with it because of my drive. I'm not necessarily joking. I got about 300 yards of carry. About 150 to the left and 150 to the right, and I'm 150 yards away from the tee box in the wrong fairway.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now,
yes.
The driver sucks.
Yes,
okay,
that's what it is. Thank you,
appreciate
Bryson.
That's,
I'm allowed to say that because I'm paying for my driver.
Take out the 2-iron. Stripe it right down the middle.
And I never slice.
Every time.
Okay,
every time. It's so bad. So I just keep aiming further left. Merton Hanks, neck. Former San Francisco 49ers safety. Fantastic football player. Now he's with the Pac-12.
You're going to have a football coach speak today whose program is accused of and documented, allegedly, according to multiple reports, of flagrant cheating last year in recruiting. Can you offer your assessment so far of what you know about Arizona State and the actions of that coaching staff?
I'll speak on behalf of the conference. We don't have a comment that's between the NCAA and ASU at this time.
No, thank you. Is there anything else? Okay, next question. Next question?
And that is our policy. We simply don't comment on those.
Okay. Sorry, Mark.
Well, you knew that was coming right there, right? Honestly. It's an ongoing investigation. It is a beautiful thing to say, right? When you are being investigated, it's the only thing to really say. It's an ongoing investigation. And, of course, lawyers are going to counsel you and tell you do not say anything but that.
Keep in mind, you're allowed to say whatever you want. You're allowed to. Everyone says, oh, it's our policy. No, no, no. You're allowed to. You choose not to. Now, is it in your best interest to keep your mouth shut? Yes. But you're still choosing to keep quiet.
Right now, as you guys know, well aware, we are under NCAA review. With that being said, we cannot comment on what's taking place with our football team.
Actually, yes, you can. I mean,
you can comment, but we all know you won't.
Yeah, you can't. I mean,
why would you?
That's wrong to say we can't comment, because yes, you can. You can say whatever you want. The NCAA
can't. His point.
Yes.
You understand his point, what he's saying. Of course you're not going to comment on it.
Now, if you're an ASU fan and you're, you know, I know plenty of people in college sports that feel like, hey, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So if you are one of those fans, he says it's not a problem right now.
Well, for us, it hasn't been a distraction at all, to be quite honest. If you watch our players work and our coaching staff, we're excited about getting back in the building tomorrow. They're there today, but I'm going to be back in the building tomorrow and really going forward on starting camp on the 4th of August. I heard that the local guys now, you guys will actually hopefully get to attend practice, kind of see what it looks like. So we're a focused football team, and I think it has a lot to do with the players that decided to come back in the spring. I mean, that's kind of where our mindset is right now, as far as I know, as far as what I see and feel by the players.
I really believe he's right when it comes to the players, that it really is not a distraction to the players. I don't think it will be a distraction for the players. I think he's 100% right. I mean, these kids, for the most part, based on names, their business is about getting to the NFL. I hate to say it as bluntly as that, and I do know that there are players inside ASU's locker room that know they're never going to play in the NFL. It is about going to school and having the experience of playing college football. There are some players in there that know they're never going to play in the National Football League. There's got to be, right? But the vast majority, I think, that are in there, I think they, if I just get my break, I've got a shot. Their business is to play really, really well and put something on tape so they can actually get drafted into the NFL. I don't think it's going to be a big distraction for the players going forward. I think it's going to be a big distraction for the men that are actually coaching.
I look at it a lot differently than I used to. After 5 years in the SEC, I learned an awful lot about cheating. I learned an awful lot about breaking the rules. I learned an awful lot about how the NCAA policies work. And listen, unless Dr. Crow stands up and says, I don't want a football program with a lack of integrity, and he wants to do something about it. Nowadays, everything has changed so dramatically. I totally agree that it's not a distraction. The old days, it would be a massive distraction because you would have an NCAA investigation. You wouldn't know if your coach is going to get fired, because that was the way. You had to suck up to the NCAA. Hey, we see your point. We've got to get rid of these people now. Plus, if you were a recruit that had done something or gotten some kind of benefit, you could be suspended.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're walking around wondering, is the NCAA going to find out what I did? Then you're trying to prepare for a game, and now the NCAA wants to meet with you. You can see how all of these things are a massive distraction if it's about the game on the field. Now, the NCAA has lost so much power and teeth that schools are openly defying them. Not even listening to them. They don't care. They're fighting against them. So because of that, it's just going to be, you know, thing as usual. Now, the way it gets different is if more coaches in the Pac-12 follow the line of David Shaw. David Shaw did something I've never heard an NCAA coach do in the time that I've been covering college sports, and that is speak openly on the record about somebody else potentially violating the NCAA rules.
Why do you think he did that?
Because he was that outraged by them doing
outraged.
It in the pandemic. Because the number one things that they were being accused of was violating pandemic protocols put in place by all of college sports. And it was like, that's such an unfair advantage. And they felt like you were putting kids at risk. You were putting your program at risk. So he had no problem speaking out against it. And when you have coaches doing that, that's kind of a game changer.
You know, don't you think Dr. Crow, though, is one of these types where he does care about the program? He does care about the image of the
program? I hate to do this. I'm just going to put it as a we'll see, because right now they still have a job.
Honestly. Well, you know, once again, I would let it play out as well, the investigation. I mean, okay, to be fair, wouldn't you do that? Of course you would. You'd be fair, especially to your own guys. You'd be fair. Let the investigation take us where it goes. And if I was Michael Crow, Dr. Crow, and I wanted to go ahead and actually keep the image of ASU clean and mm-hmm. pristine, I would definitely launch my own investigation into that if, in fact, it was bothering me that much. But I don't know how it's not a huge distraction for the men that are involved in this investigation. Because, once again, it's not just about getting fired. It's also about the future for them. There are some coaches, David Shaw, that may not hire coaches
yes.
that were involved in this.
I can only tell you about the old days. The old days, it would be, don't wait for the entire investigation to be over. It's almost like, how many of you had a parent that says, what do you think your punishment should be? That's the way the NCAA used to be. Hey, what do you think? You know, you self-impose these penalties, and you were so scared of what they would do, is you would hack apart your own program out of fear of what the NCAA might do. Now, since they don't fear it, you're absolutely right. Wait till the investigation's over, because a lot of people don't follow the punishments from the NCAA anyway. It's a very strange
interesting
thing
to watch where this goes.
Football season's here, and we're getting you ready with the Valley Virtual Series Training Camp Edition. Text CAMP to 62620 to receive a link to this exclusive event where you'll hear from your favorite Arizona sports host, and you'll have the chance to win prizes like tickets or autographed memorabilia. Just text CAMP to 62620. Your Arizona Sports Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. Coming up next, Chandler Jones was present at the first day of Arizona Cardinals training camp. So how's Cliff Kingsbury feeling about the situation? It's coming up on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Stations.
This is J.J. Watt, and you're listening to 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
That's a great group. We got a good mix of experience and youth.
Let's be sharp. Let's finish strong.
You've got all the assets. You've got the talent on your football team. Time to produce.
Talent is great, but you have to be able to cultivate and build upon that.
We got the guys. We got the talent. We got the athletes. You know, that shouldn't be an issue.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
He was there. Now what? Cliff Kingsbury, how you feeling? What's the relationship that you have, coach to player, with Chandler Jones?
He's been great. If you know Chandler, phenomenal human being, obviously a phenomenal football player, and we're just all excited to have him and have him back healthy, and can't wait to watch him this season.
Did you have a chance to talk to him at all?
Yes. Yeah. It was good. It was good. Like I said, I mean, y'all know his personality. He's jovial and looked in great shape. So really, really excited to have him back.
As a listener, how are you feeling about Chandler Jones? You can text the FanDuel text line at 62620. If you include your name, we'll do our best to try to read your comments and your text to everybody else that is in the red seat. Because if you think about it, technically, Chandler Jones has done zero wrong other than miss, you know, the off season. And some people can argue whether or not you think that's a big deal.
Minicamp.
Yeah, he missed minicamp. So he's in a contract dispute. He wants to be traded. And therefore, the hardcore loyal fan, that's got to bother you a little bit. Yet at the same time, he's there. He's doing his professional duty. I don't know how active he is. I don't know if he's totally engaged yet. I'll wait till I see him. But it's not like he's going to come running up to me and say, "Dog, I'm ready." You know, I don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
But I'm interested in seeing just how active he is at practice. But he's there. Is he just there to not get fined? Or is he there to practice and try to win games for the Cardinals until his trade request is accepted?
You know, that's the big question right there, Doug Lease, honestly. Listen, Chandler Jones, a guy that I know, Basinonians, he loves the game of football. This is a guy that absolutely loves the game of football. I realize you could say, well, Wolf, you know what, this is a business decision right here. He could get hurt, and that's really what he's worried about. This is what he's concerned about. Injuries in the last part of his contract, in the last year of his contract. Now all of a sudden, hey, listen, where's the security going forward? Well, listen, this is what every football player has got to deal with, and they've always dealt with it from the very beginning. When somebody said, I'll pay you X amount of dollars, when $100 to play in a football game. Boy, that was good money back all the way in 1903. $100. Okay, now all of a sudden, you have to worry about that. Your contract and what it says and the long-term security, of course. Are you going to be able to get the $100 next season? You get my point. For this is something that football players have dealt with for a long, long time, and Chandler Jones is going to have to deal with it here. And if I know Chan, once again, the best way to get paid is to go out and ball out. And I think that's what he'll do.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we felt like we missed him last year when he was injured, and he brings such a presence in the locker room, on the field, that to get him back and have him rolling again is going to be big for us.
You know, I agree with you, but let me, and I want to be open to everybody. I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't believe this, but I want to take the other side. What if his opinion is, that's exactly what I did last year? I balled out in the hopes to earn a contract extension and got injured.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I got injured off the field. It wasn't like I wasn't doing football stuff. I got injured doing everything I could to help the Arizona Cardinals win games, and now I'm unprotected.
Yeah.
And so now I should go somewhere where they're going to pay me and get that money now so I can play freely and not be worried about my next contract.
Once again, it's an individual's decision based on our needs. It always comes down to the individual. It does. Heed my words and hear me well on this. For Chandler Jones, yeah, listen, you could say that, Douglas. If you want to go ahead and try to think like Chandler Jones might be thinking on this situation. Last year, that's what I did. I went out and I tried to play. Well, guess what? You have one more year left on your contract. Let's not ignore that. And you got hurt after five games, or during your fifth game, as a matter of fact. And you had one sack at that point in time. If, in fact, you want to step away and look at it, tell me if that's normal for you, Chan, that you'd play five games and have one sack. Tell me that's normal for you. And I think Chan, I'd be the first guy to say, no, that's not good. Now, it was a pandemic year. We all understand that as well. And that you've got to keep in mind. But one sack in five games, that's not Chandler Jones production right there. And then all of a sudden you tear your bicep and you're going into the last year. The way that it's shaping up right now, this is a prove-it year for Chandler Jones. It's a quintessential prove-it year. If he was 27, if he was 26, I don't even think this would be a conversation. I think they would lock him up, sign him to a contract. But the fact that he's 31 and he's going to be 32 in February, I think that is the reason why they're going to take a wait-and-see approach. And if Chan can't see that, I'd be surprised. I really would.
The other thing that's really interesting about Cards Camp, and I mean, this is a strange dynamic, is the dynamic of Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, Jordan's going to come in and compete his tail off. Same thing. Looks tremendous. Was a captain last year for us. One of the real leaders on our team. And so, once again, great to have him back.
So he's back practicing, even though your former starting and captain middle linebacker has been replaced by a guy who's never worn a Cardinals jersey until yesterday's practice.
Yeah, talking with Steve.
Well, I guess I should change that. He was at minicamp and did other things. But Zaven Collins. You named him the starter already.
Yeah, talking with Steve, we just wanted to make sure that, you know, that's the direction it was going to go. We have drafted two linebackers in the first two rounds the last 2 years, and then we want to see what they can do on the field, basically, and have very high expectations for them athletically. We know they have some ups and downs like young players do, but to have two guys like that with their type of athleticism on the field at the same time, we're just excited to see it.
What a weird situation this really is, because I can tell you right now, knowing what to do is really important when you play the game of football. Rod Wolfley reporting. Knowing what to do, Basin audience, is really critical when you play the game of football, because you can't perform unless you know what to do. And this is where Zaven Collins is going to be learning what to do, where Jordan Hicks already knows it. That's the weird situation right here. Zaven Collins is going to be learning it. Jordan Hicks already knows it. They're hoping the what to do and how you go about doing that, Zaven Collins does better than Jordan Hicks.
You know, isn't it interesting? Name your sport, but how often an organization will say, we're playing so-and-so, mostly off the record, but we're playing so-and-so so we don't lose the locker room. That you play the veteran or the guy that's proving it in practice more so you don't lose the locker room. Yet, they've already announced Zaven Collins as the starting linebacker. What if he falls on his face in the preseason? Are you willing to recant? Are you willing to come out and say, you know what? Jordan Hicks is ready. He's not. Jordan Hicks has won the starting job.
Yeah.
That says a lot to the locker room to me that you do that. And if you don't do it, and Zaven Collins is a brutal failure at the beginning, now what? And if Zaven Collins is highly successful, they nailed that pick, everything's great, well then, what about Jordan Hicks? If I'm Jordan, one thing I'm not doing is I wouldn't speak to the media at all. If somebody asked me to talk, I would say, guys, I used to be the team captain. I used to be the starter. I understand my role as I need to speak. I'm not that person now. Go talk to Zaven. And I would walk away.
And that's what I'm really interested in, Douglas. I want to see, how does Jordan Hicks respond to Zaven Collins? That is one of the things I'm going to be watching when we go out and look at training camp and watch training camp.
I don't think he's being a bitter jerk if he says, I'm not helping here.
I'm absolutely torn between that. I think Jordan Hicks, just knowing him once again, I think thinking about it, sitting around in his living room, thinking about it, I think Jordan Hicks probably will say, you know what, I'm not going to help that guy. I'm not going to help him go ahead and take – when he's actually out there on the field, I think maybe he'll see it differently.
Listen, if we
because
were
because he's got a coach's brain, if he's going to coach in the NFL at some point in time.
If I'm Jordan Hicks and I know I got 2 years left in the league, and I know it, and I'm about done, man, of course I'm going to pass on. This is my chance to get to a playoff or get somewhere special, and therefore this young kid can help me. Right now, he thinks he's got plenty of years left, and all this kid can do is take my job. So why should I help the coach do their job? You're the coach, you coach him.
Yeah.
I'm the player, I'll play.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, though. It's one of the things I'm going to be looking for.
I think it's a huge thing at camp.
Is the interaction between Jordan Hicks and Zaven Collins.
Boy, Wolf and Maloney came in with some important Suns news, and they were jacked up about it. If you didn't see what happened yesterday, I think you'll feel pretty good about your 2022 Phoenix Suns. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.